coming to you live from the Geek.io studios. We're clogging your inner tubes full of nerds. This is the Geek.io show.
Transform and roll out.
With your hosts, CJ and Rachel Boat. Jared Azevedo. With mad support from our producer, Jared Budlong.
Hold on to your butt.
Here we go.
Oh yeah, welcome to Geek.io, your weekly dose of tech news and geekery, episode 38, recording Thursday, the 7th of November, 2013. I am your host, CJ Boat.
I'm Jared Azevedo. Yep.
I'm Jared Budlong.
Yippee!
And I'm Dale Campbell.
Huzzah! And joining us this week from the wildly successful Kickstarter for their new comic, Ruin, the author of said comic, Darker Show.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome. having anything fun to drink this evening?
I just polished off my fourth beer, and I'm having a glass of wine. Maybe a little water and an oversized Rice Krispie treat.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Is it one of those that you get that's like 5 pounds and it's like the size of...
That'd be Cracker Barrel?
Yes.
Yeah.
The things you get from Cracker Barrel?
It's like the size of Texas.
Nice.
Nice. That's awesome. Now that's a Rice Krispie treat.
Right? Yeah.
But it doesn't have the heroin that Disney puts in them, so you know.
Well, I heroin. Put heroin in it before the
I'm
show.
Pretty sure... Oh, there we go. All right. So you have a Mickey treat too. Gotcha.
When I nod off, I'll just nod out a little bit, and then the show will conclude. Unfortunately, so you'll know.
So you two are dancing with Molly.
Yeah.
As nice. Miley Cyrus puts it.
Nice.
Yeah, Lord.
Well played, sir. Well played.
No, I don't have that. I will not play. I even have standards. I will not play that on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for not playing that.
Even I have standards. The Fox, that's okay. Miley Cyrus, no.
Opa Gangnam Style, months after its prime. Perfectly yeah. Fine.
The don't Fox make out of my prime.
Yeah. I don't think the Fox really had a prime. I think it was prime for like 3 minutes and then disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my one-year-old still loves the Fox, so we still watch that about once a day.
As she nice. Should. As she should. It's fantastic.
Foxy! Pow, 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 yeah. Pow, pow! Okay, baby. We'll watch it again.
Oh, man.
Nice. Yay, rails. We have them.
Nope.
Somewhere.
They're over that them. Way somewhere. So, Darker, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we go ahead and move on into talking about your comic?
Okay. You know, I mean, there's not.
But what you can't tell us.
I'm a dude that likes to write comic books. I have 2 three-legged cats, and, you know, I pretty much just stay indoors as much as possible and read a lot of comic books. That's pretty much me in a nutshell. So
nice. Except for the cats, that sounds pretty much like my life.
No cats. He has 3-legged dogs.
I have 3-legged children.
What?
I lived in South Carolina, not far from a paper mill. Something had to grow.
Oh yeah.
I have a fish with half a fin. Does that count?
What?
You have Nemo?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh. Little clownfish?
Nemo. I don't have Nemo. His name is Nemo. He lives in the ocean.
We found Nemo. So, all right. So you write this, you know, you're going to be writing / have written this book, Ruin.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It's a dystopian story, kind of mashed up two of my favorite films, Aliens and Mad Max. It's basically just the book that I wanted to see on the bookshelves, and it wasn't available. So Ruben and I kind of created the project we had been wanting to read ourselves. So that's kind of where the story started. takes place on Earth in the year 4602. So it's more of like a desolate desert wasteland. We call it the Outer Terra. So it leaves a lot of room for all different types of creatures and characters and all kinds of stuff to explore. So it's going to be good.
Nice. So I actually have some questions here from Daryl Shaler, the guy who wrote up a good-sized review of your Kickstarter for our site. Even though he's sleeping right now, and we'll listen to this later. because British people...
Understandable. Yeah, we gotta sleep, so that's good.
British people sleep. I wasn't aware.
What
I thought
that?
They just stayed awake and were polite all the time.
And drank warm beer.
Yes. And apparently ice cold cider, which is sounds amazing. Apparently right there is a backstory of how you met your artist.
Yes. I had written the first volume. The first six issues were written, and I was working with an artist in Canada, but she was a supervisor at a gaming studio. And then while we were working on the book, she got a really cool job working on a pretty big game project. So unfortunately, the schedule didn't allow her to stay onto the project. So there was a forum that I threw up the project and I threw up the synopsis and I asked artists to kind of do mock-ups of the, I believe it was like the first page of the project. And I got about 150 submissions, so I had to go through all those. And it was pretty time-consuming. It took me about a month and a half until finally Ruben sent over his mock-up, and I actually found it in the spam folder. It was like I never checked my spam, and it was like the one email that was in there. And it just happened to be Ruben's mock-up for the story. But as soon as I saw the art, I knew that that was the direction that I wanted to take the book. And it was kind of meant to be. It was kind of perfect. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the art is fantastic. I'm going to throw some art up on the Twitch channel here, so everybody that's looking at it can see. And it is really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, Ruben's great, man. Like, we have fun too. You know, if we weren't separated by he's in Spain and I'm in Texas, so you know, we'd be best friends, and you know, we'd be hanging out all the time. But his art's fantastic, and I absolutely think he's gonna have a long career in comic books. I'm excited just from a fan standpoint to see where he goes and what he's gonna do outside of Ruin too. So.
Yeah, and anybody who's looking at the Twitch channel right now can see this. It's actually kind of it's scary that this is actually pretty close to. I've been reading Saga a lot lately, and the art is pretty similar to that.
So Fiona Fyle, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I mean is good for us because ultimately, we want to place at Image, you know, like we'd love to. Be on the roster with those guys, so you know we'll see how it goes. So I think if you know hearing that kind of feedback is good for us because it lets me know that you know we've definitely polished the project and we'll see how it goes. So.
Oh yeah, I am excited. Unfortunately, I mean I personally have not been able to dedicate anything to the Kickstarter, but. That being said, like I totally would if I could, and I know Daryl has thrown at least I'm not sure if it's pounds or U.S. dollars, but it's thrown at least $30 at you. So it's either he's either getting the digital pack or let's see, $30 is like $1,000 American. So
Especially, you know, I mean, I created the digital pack for our international backers just because you could. I mean, I hate the shipping fees, like they're such a pain in the ass. But the digital pack, I created it to where you could get your avatar created by Ruben and all that kind of stuff. And now that we've hit our stretch goal, I'm going to throw in a bunch of incentives. So with the digital pack and a bunch of other tiers, you'll probably receive, you know, ruin number 2, 3, and maybe even up to 6. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. Yeah, you guys are currently 71.95, topped over 5K. So that's that is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
I like how all of them have Pay Ruben in there.
Pay Ruben.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, for me, like, that's going to be the biggest relief, is to just to get them paid, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, we've been like, it's okay to not pay myself, you know what I mean? Because I can work as much on the project as I want. And I'm actually, Ruben's teaching me to ink and working with me on colors. I lettered the book already, so I'm taking a more proactive role. But, you know, he's the one that's drawing it day in and day out. So for me to get those funds over to him is going to be a great feeling. So
nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be for him too.
Yeah. Yeah, he can ditch the ramen for a few months, you know, and so it's going to be good.
I had a man a steak.
Wait, are you telling me that Robin Rojas or Ruben Rojas eats ramen regularly?
I don't know, maybe probably.
Say that 5 times fast.
I could barely say it once.
I'll ask him and see.
So is there any kind of like language barrier that you guys have ever hit, or is he good with English or you good with Spanish?
He's actually taken an English class, but he and I are a lot alike because we watch a lot of the same shows, a bunch of cartoons and shit, really. But like I think he's learning a lot of his English from like old He-Man and Thundercats.
That is so awesome. It's not even funny. That's crazy.
So technically speaking, like I come from the same background, so to me it's perfect English, you know. So right.
It doesn't turn out like Bumblebee from Transformers trying to speak with just the radio, though, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of snarf, you know. So
I was wondering why he kept calling you Orko in here.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure.
Nice.
Going on with that.
Yeah. I mean,
like I would send you those digital scans, but I've lost the power.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There is a slight language barrier, but, Google Translate is a great tool, and my wife speaks, like, 4 languages, so she'll help me out.
Nice.
We haven't really had any major foul-ups with translation from script to art, so it's been good.
Awesome. Now, on your end, I know, like, I read a ton of comics. I read usually anywhere between 10 and 30 per week, depending on what is out and what I want to read. Now, and that comes with a lot of cliches, and even, like, some of my favorite books, like Pi and Saga, have a lot of cliches in them. How are you going about not having those cliches haunt your book?
That's definitely something that I have to take a step back and look at. I mean, I think there's a fine line between paying homage to certain, you know, things that inspire you as a creative, you know, like maybe sci-fi films or things like that. So you kind of want to throw some of that stuff in your own work just to, you know, pay respect to the things that have inspired you. So it's a fine line between that and just filling the pages with a bunch of cliches. So I typically just write whatever comes, you know, whatever comes out naturally, and then I'll go back, and then if I see something that I feel like is pretty trite or cliche, I'll try to cut it out immediately and push myself in a corner to where I have to kind of write myself out and maybe get something a little more original. So.
Okay. My notes went away. Actually, I have notes for this interview, guys. You guys should be...
Should we clap? Should we clap?
Very proud.
Hey.
We've done a lot of interviews, and I've never actually had notes for them, and I actually have notes for this one.
but we won't edit out awkward pauses because that ruins the show.
I love it.
Yeah. We've got to keep them. So,
is there a story behind the relationship between the main character and his dog?
That's funny you bring that up because I decided that I'm going to take a bite of my Rice Krispie treat right now, if that's okay.
Only if you put your mic as close to your mouth as you can while eating.
I'm just going to crunch right into the microphone for about 25 seconds and then I'll answer.
Yes.
I'm drinking my delicious caramel brulee.
Capture the sound bite and save it for later.
Well, now that we've received a lot of support and funds, we're actually going back to the original script, and we're going to add a lot of things that we had cut out to try and save time and money ultimately. So now that we have a little more slack, we're going to go back and add a lot of character plot and things like that. And we're going to touch upon Aiden and Sasha's relationship too. So I'm actually going to be writing that in the next couple of days. So it's going to be interesting to see, where their relationship starts, and it's going to be a main focal point in the first issue, definitely. So.
Nice. I love how you've written him into talking in weird, not talking, but still talking. It's fantastic. Yeah, like
the puzzles. Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of grappled with that a little bit because I didn't know if they should be speech bubbles or thought bubbles, but in the book, when Sasha has a rebus puzzle or a pictogram, like the thoughts manifest like in the world. So Aiden will see the puzzle, kind of it'd be like bloop like above her head. So he'll actually see the puzzle above her head, and he'll have to solve the puzzle himself. So I decided to go with kind of a speech bubble.
Cool. So it's kind of like he has a weird heads-up display on the world. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is awesome. Next note. No, I already covered that one. Already covered that one. Jeez. You're supposed to know my script and not go ahead of what I've started, what I was supposed to talk to you like. All right, do you guys have any other questions for Darker while I'm looking up, trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go next?
I'd like to hear about the Kickstarter and what exactly it is. And I mean, I guess it's already funded and beyond that, but
yeah,
what are you doing with this thing?
Well, I mean, I didn't really want to do the Kickstarter, to be honest, at first, because I kind of felt like we were just kind of doing our own thing, but demand really pushed me to do it. You know, I had a lot of people kind of, I think they just assumed that the book was already out. So I had a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and they were just like kind of pissed. You know, they were like, hey, like I went to my comic shop and they didn't have your freaking book there. Like, what the hell? It's not on Comixology. You know, like, why can't I download the first three volumes already? Like, what's going on? So, you know, I was like, okay, well, I was like, you know, we need to pick up the pace a little bit. So
that's a very good problem
maybe
to have, though.
Actually, yeah. Publish it. But yeah, that's
yeah,
definitely
exactly
a good problem.
So, you know, we threw it up on Kickstarter, and it also allowed for everybody to kind of get like cool incentives, you know, like the create your own character reward and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that was a big plus too. So because Ruben and I and our editor had been working on this project for so long, kind of behind closed doors, that it was a lot of fun to kind of present it to everybody and kind of and get it going and get it out there, and see the feedback, and the enthusiasm was really motivating. So, you know, we set up some cool tiers and rewards and stuff, and the first week was pretty crazy because we received so much support and retweets and all that kind of stuff, and people just backing the project. So it was pretty overwhelming. So we're stoked to be where we're at, definitely.
Nice.
Who would you say what your major at least comic author influence would be? I don't know enough authors, so if you'll name comics, that would be great.
Yeah,
I know the authors.
East of West has got my full attention right now. Like, I started reading that book when it first came out. I think the first trade's about to come out. I love everything about that book. I love the writing, the art, the characters. Like, for me, that book's a home run. So that's one, you know, newer book that's really captivated my attention. I read a lot of the older stuff all the time, just over and over again. Punisher, you know, stuff like that. Watchmen kind of takes all my attention. I can't get away from the older stuff. So,
how do you? Nice. If nobody else has anything, I had one other question because I don't talk to authors that often, but how do you, having read tons of comics, how do you like a lot of those transitions into other mediums, whether they're games, TV shows, movies? How do you feel on the tradition, the transition rather, not tradition, because that's not a tradition. Anyway, how do you feel about that transition in general? I mean, obviously Marvel has been doing fantastically the last, you know, 7 years, but
yeah.
Before that, do you see maybe how hard it would be to make that transition and why there might be failures, or do you just like pull your hair out and yell at the TV or the movie screen as you're watching them? Or do you watch them?
I mean, I will watch them, but it's kind of like a Redbox thing for me. Like, I don't know that I'll go to the box office to see them. I kind of wait until they're on Apple TV or something, and then I'll probably watch them.
Okay.
Only because, like, a lot of those titles, you know, I've read the book, so for me it kind of takes me. I mean, like, comics are, you know, it's a visual medium anyway. It's almost like film, you know. It's just a melding of story and art. So film's kind of the same thing. So, but I come from a screenwriting background. That's kind of where I got my start in writing in the first place. So I love film. Film's probably my first love. So, but those big titles that I see on the screen, like, they kind of take me out of the book. So I'm real weary about, you know, which ones I'll watch, because I don't want to. Depends on where I'm at too, or you know, or the how invested I am in that series. So, but you know, I like it, man. I like the transition from the comics to the film. I think it's great because I think that comics are the perfect platform to go to film. I mean, it's basically just a really fancy ass storyboard, you know.
Right.
There. Yeah. You've got all the character development, you've got all the art, you've got all the plot. I mean, everything's there. I mean, what an easy transition to jump from the comic book right to film. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a director's dream is you find a project that's really well done, and then you go and shoot it. So I think it's great, and I hope it it starts to cater to the creator-owned guys, and I hope to see some Image books get picked up.
Ooh, Image.
Series, so, yeah.
I have heard some weird rumors going around that some of the, like, mainly, aside from Walking Dead, which has done fantastically, I've heard some rumors going around that Invincible has actually been picked up for a movie.
I don't know. I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't doubt it, because I know that Kirkman stayed on as executive producer on the Walking Dead TV series, and he's pretty involved in all of his projects, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I think that'd be great because it's a superhero story, but it's a different take, you know. So that'd be refreshing to see it, to see that kind of break away from like your typical like Superman movies and that kind of stuff. So
it does a proper deconstruction of the genre. So I think it would be an interesting take on the superhero genre in general.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there are some bigger names out there, and some people are willing to give really good advice. But unfortunately, with that advice comes, say Robert Kirkman approached you and said, "Hey, here's some advice for you." Unfortunately, he would probably be writing you into Invincible. Now, if you're given advice, how do you handle that? Like, do you just take it at face value and walk with it, or do you kind of just absorb it and do your own thing with it?
Well, I'm kind of a dichotomy where I'm fairly stubborn, but I'm also a strategist, so I would definitely take Well, I mean, especially coming from someone well-weathered as Robert Kirkman, you know, I would definitely take his advice to heart because he's you know, done great things and been in situations that I haven't encountered yet. So I would definitely take it with a grain of salt too, because like I said, I'm really stubborn, sometimes almost to a fault. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you're just going to want to trip up and learn on your own, you know? So it's just kind of like toddlers, you know, you can tell them, hey, don't touch the hot stove, but until they do, they don't really learn. So I'm kind of the same way, you know, like I would kind of want to steer my own creative projects. But, you know, I mean, yeah, if Kevin Smith or Robert Kirkman or any of those guys wants to throw me a bone and send me some advice, you know, I mean, I'd happily accept it. So
nice. I mean, and I know, like, I've actually talked a bunch of times with Matt Fraction on Twitter, which is a very interesting forum to just kind of reach out and talk to people that, you know, are your idols, and that's fantastic that it's a world that, you know, I can look at the comic like Gruen and talk to the author, or, you know, I talk to the author of Hawkeye on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah.
it's a very strange world that we live in, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now and going on, you know, into the future, like I want to have that, I want to be personable, and I want to be available to just talk to people that are excited about the stuff that we're creating, because I think for me, that's one of the best parts, you know, to get feedback and talk to people that are just genuinely excited about the projects you work so hard on. So I think to Fraction's credit and the other guys that talk to fans and stuff, you know, I appreciate that from a fan standpoint too. You know, I think that's really great. So
absolutely. Now, I know this is going to be a dumb question, but you guys are fully like self-published with this, right? You're not an Image subsidy or anything like that.
Not yet. We've had, we've had every offer under the sun. You know, I mean, we've had all kinds of stuff thrown at us, and we've turned a lot of stuff down. We had a pretty big publishing deal on the table, but we would have lost a lot of creative rights, so we didn't go with it. Only because we want to go with a creator-owned publisher, you know, like Image, Dark Horse, IDW, any of those guys. That's our main target. So we don't have anything on table yet, but the Kickstarter is going to help with that, because we want to do a, you know, just a really polished, awesome looking book, and then that's what we're going to submit to publishers and see, you know, who wants to pick us up. So, but yeah, right now we're nice. You know, we're it's free range. We're open. So,
so
submit your offers.
Yeah,
what's you've had all the offers under the sun except the right one at this point. So we're just waiting on one other one. The perfect offer. The Kickstarter thing, I've never actually had the pleasure of speaking to somebody who's done a Kickstarter. Do you have any, if anybody is listening or if any of us are thinking of doing one, do you have any advice on that process?
Yeah, quit your job.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
If you're married and you have children, move out of your house.
Okay.
Because Kickstarter will completely consume every millisecond of your life from beginning to end. I mean, it's just, it's intense, man. I don't really know how to express that. But I mean, it's like,
is that from interaction or from Kickstarter needing that much maintenance from updates on new, what do you call it? Stretch goals and all that stuff? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Just out of curiosity. Yeah, sure. I mean, there is a lot of interaction. People send you a lot of messages, whether they back or not. People are just curious. You know, they just ask a lot of questions. The people that back ask a lot of questions. You're obligated to do the backer blog, you know, which keeps people interested. I think social networking is a big part of it, so that takes up time, clearly. You know, if you got to hit up Facebook, Google, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. And then for me, you know, I create all the graphics and organize, you know, just we decided to do pinups while the campaign was going on, so I got to get with Ruben and orchestrate that. I allowed a lot of the backers to kind of pick and choose which characters we would reveal. Not only that, but I've got a full-time job. I'm married with a kid and all that kind of stuff, too. So, I mean, it really, for me, like, I like to give 150% no matter what it is I'm doing. So, with the Kickstarter, it's there. You know, like, once you start the clock, then you're committed to it. So then if it's doing really well and then, like, you have a few days where there's nothing going on, then you, like, freak out.
Right, right. The money stops coming in. You're like, what did we do wrong? What happened?
You're like, everything I've done sucks. I'm fucking go bankrupt. You know, like, people hate my project. It sucks. So you go through, you know, you question yourself, and then you just get back after it, and then the pledges start coming back in, and so it's definitely time consuming.
Gotcha.
It's a little nerve wracking, but. Ultimately, it's totally worth it, and the support is great. So,
okay, I was just curious because that's a really good piece of advice for people, especially if you're trying to fund something. The point of it is to try and get money, which means you don't have enough in the first place, which means you probably have a job trying to do something. So that's good. That's probably good advice up front. Like, hey, this will take time.
I mean, in our I would say the short list is just be well prepared. Do a soft launch. Go ahead and get your project out there on Twitter, wherever. Just, you know, in front of as many eyeballs as you can. You know, just kind of get it out there and let people know that the Kickstarter is about to come. And then art, you know, especially with comic book genre, just have things that people can look at and you know,
so. Nice little teasers and whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have nothing else on my end, so I am completely questioned out. Dale, you have anything?
I'm actually not a comic book person. unfortunately.
Dale, what are you talking about? You're future man.
Hello.
It's already future tomorrow man. Where you are. What are you talking about?
Hey, I can actually make that a comic book. Future man, that's not a comic book at the moment.
Yeah, we have an author. You might be able to pitch something.
I've already copyrighted it. Future man, I've already done it.
Nice.
He's
registered the domain. He's already submitted for trademarking.
I've already written the script. It's mine now.
Out of
Kickstarter's
luck.
Already started, and it's Kickstarter's funded. Already. Congratulations.
And it's already funded. Right. So get to writing.
It's all right. Already on Kickstarter.
go. Future man.
Get on that. So you were talking about, so for international people, I'm going to ask this question. The international people are able to get the print issue as well as the PDF version?
Yeah.
Or they just have to get charged extra for shipping, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay. I'm going to try and make up some of that for the backers, because I think that's effing awesome. Like the backers, I mean, we had a backer the other day from Kazakhstan, Sweden, Chile, I mean, just like the far reaches of the globe. Like, I mean, it's pretty awesome, you know? But shipping is a real bitch. Like, I mean, it's just a lot of money. So what I'm going to try and do is pack in as many print freebies as I can get in there without raising the shipping for those international backers, just to kind of, you know, try to give them an extra boost, you know, just for spending extra money, you know, and give back like digital rewards and all that kind of stuff. So, but the main motivator was the digital pack, so that way they could get some personalized stuff and avoid the shipping cost and at least get some, you know, some cool swag without having to like spend $30-$40 on shipping, you know. So.
Yeah, because shipping is a pain in the ass. Both ways, actually.
It's a pain in the wallet is what it is. My goodness.
Oh,
yeah,
dear Lord, yeah.
And no matter where you're at in the world, if you're willing to pay the shipping and you back on Kickstarter, you know, we'll send you the books, you know, wherever you are. So.
Nice. All right, and I know there's a few live listeners, so if anybody out there, Twitch, you know, YouTube, geektheshow.com/live, anything like that. Has any questions for Darker, let us know. And I noticed you said on, actually in the comments, I was looking through that Darker Show is a anagram?
Yeah, it's an anagram. I'm not going to give away what it is. People can try and figure it out if they want or not. yeah, it's an anagram. It's not comics related. It's got some Japanese influence, and you know, it is what it is. I use the name. It's a great way to separate my you know, work life from my creative endeavors, and it allows me at my own you know, box to stand on and shout whatever it is I feel like talking about and just kind of be myself. So, and it's fun to just give yourself a name too. I mean, you know, I mean, this is comic books, you know, so it's like, that's what I do. You know, I mean, I make up names for people and personas all the time. So why not, you know, for myself? So.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have nothing else. So, if nobody else has anything...
Well, here's a question. The Kickstarter has 6 days to go.
Yeah.
So it ends on... it ends on the 14th.
Yeah.
November. Mm-hmm. How... I don't know if you can answer this. You answer if you can. How quickly after the Kickstarter closes will people be getting their things?
On a lot of the rewards, it depends.
It's stated on there, yeah.
It's on there. Like for the first print issue, we're looking at probably January or February. What will be done with the first issue? Other stuff's gonna take a little longer, like the, you know, you can get an advanced copy of Wicker, which is going to be our second book, and that we're probably looking at like maybe April or May. I mean, that's shooting a little far just to kind of cover our bases, but you know, that's 2014 is going to be the year for us where we start really pumping out some books, because we've got other projects coming up too. So you know, we want to hustle these two, and then. And we've got other stuff. I've got another project with Ruben, and you know, all kinds of stuff. So we're staying busy, and you know, so hopefully we'll see Ruin in print by no later than January. I hope, because I want to see the book myself. So you know, I think I'm not my greatest motivator. Yeah.
With your name on the cover.
There's nothing wrong with that. So we do have. We actually went ahead and took it upon ourselves to set up a tiny.cc/ruin comic. We'll take you to the Kickstarter.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's out there for the world. And fortunately, we didn't ruin an interview for once.
Hey,
yippee! All right.
All right. Yeah. Nailed it! Nailed it!
Nailed it! Nailed it. And we just ruined it. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, man.
All right. So, Darker, we're going to go ahead and head on to the other end of the show. If you wanted to hang on with us, that'd be cool. If not, it was definitely a pleasure talking to you about this.
Absolutely. I've got family in town, so I think I'm going to take off.
Thank you again, sir.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Good night. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Later.
Good night.
Bye.
That's tiny.cc/ruincomic. Got 6 days left on the Kickstarter, and I'm sure he won't turn down your money once the comic starts coming up officially either.
I know that's good.
If you didn't Kickstarter, I'm sure there'll be another way for you to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
No worries.
If you miss the Kickstarter, don't worry. Yeah,
it'll eventually be in your comic book shop. It just isn't right now.
Probably.
Comic book shop, comic shop.
If you want it now, or soon, or January-ish, whenever he said, hop on in there. tiny.cc/ruincomic. Go back.
January-ish.
Go do it.
January-ish.
January-ish.
Talking to you.
January-ish. I think it's April, but sure.
No, April was said, the second book. Anyway,
he said hopefully January.
Oh, okay. April was the second one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bloodlock pays attention.
Pays attention.
Hey, I was making sure I was ready for this.
Gadgets, games, and gizmos.
We are going to intermission first?
Yeah, let's say it's on the second half of the show.
No.
Yeah, you're ready. You screwed it up.
You're really ready.
Somebody didn't edit the layout.
That is not my problem.
I'm going by the layout.
Attention to the management post.
I'm going by our notes. I'm going by our notes.
Exactly. The management post says otherwise, but long
time. Yeah, well, why weren't the notes edited?
Because you didn't edit them, Budlong.
No, I haven't.
Because you didn't edit them.
Fine. You're the producer. You're the producer.
I was busy until we just got here. Anyway,
all right.
Well, since we're doing that, let's do.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and head on into intermission. let me do my thing. we're gonna head on into intermission, pay some bills, do some ads. I have to go get some water because my throat is very dry. Because just did a freaking interview and I feel very nervous now. This just in, and something I'm gonna let a little bit of personal conversation from Dale Shaler into this. I'm gonna try and get Matt Fraction onto Comic Geek IO and not tell Daryl.
But he listens to the show.
He also has it in the chat. He just doesn't know when. It's just going to be, hey, let's do a Comic Geek IO.
With him. Okay, secret. I thought you were trying to slip one past him, and I was like, that's not very nice at all.
But I won't tell him Matt Fraction's on the other end. All right, so... our mid-show music this week is actually pretty cool, and it's really cool that they let us do this. But it's actually the new single from Pentatonix. It is their Daft Punk Megamix from their new album, PTX, Volume 2, on sale this week on Amazon. You can check out their YouTube page at youtube.com/PTXOfficial. It's PTX Official. Rachel loves these guys. And they are a fantastic group. They were on the Sing Off a few years back. It's really great. They did they've done a bunch of covers. One recently. It's currently my ringtone of Radioactive with Lindsey Stirling, and that is one of the greatest songs I've heard in a long time.
Yes,
and this is a fantastic song with a bunch of songs that I absolutely love. So yes, we're going to pay some bills, do some ads, have some other people talk for a little bit, and then Pentatonix with their Daft Punk Megamix. We'll be on the other side.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Tweaked Audio. They've got 7 great styles. They've got 7 great colors. Well, technically 6. And then they have wood. I don't call that a color. Maybe you do. Mic'd and non-mic'd versions. They're designed to sound great for music and talk, like podcasts. Engineered for durability, they've got a noise-reducing design, compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android devices, and all MP3 players and most phones. Don't forget, you get 1/3 off of your order. That's right, you get 30% off. Just use the discount code GEEK. Oh, and one more thing, they've got free shipping. Find them at www.geek-io.com/tweaked.
ProXPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly cable 6 strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Hey, this is Willis for How It Stacks, where we watch and rate all the TV shows, movies, video games, toys, and music that you grew up with to see how they stack up as an adult.
Every 2 weeks, we get together, get drunk, and cover topics such as
Voltron,
the WWF,
Mega Man,
Escape from New York,
Escape from LA,
The Labyrinth,
and The Dark Crystal.
Tune in to How It Stacks on the Geek.io Podcast Network every 2 weeks, where we get shit-faced and talk about the nerdiest topics that can come to mind.
My name's Willis.
And I am JD for How It Stacks.
Thank you. buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, do it, buy it, jam it, lock it, zip it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, type it, switch it, fade it, paint it, write it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, touch me now, touch it, bend it, play it, touch it, technologic, one more time.
Like the legend of the phoenix, yeah. All ends with beginnings. It keeps the planet spinning. The force from the beginning. No.
We've come too far to give up.
Yeah.
We've come too far to
That was wicked awesome.
That was once again that was Pentatonix Daft Punk Megamix on their new album PTX Official Volume 2. Go pick it up now on Amazon. Oh my god, I love that freaking song so much. Also, it's quite weird. Rachel's listening to the live stream, and it's so weird hearing it like 10 seconds later on her
computer. She's still going, yes.
It is.
Yeah,
it's
not broken.
It just ended. It just ended.
Nice.
It's so weird because I'm singing and dancing to the one that's on my earbud.
Uh-oh.
My earphones. And she's yelling at me because it's 10 seconds ahead of hers, so she's getting frustrated.
Nice.
Oh my god. It's amazing. It's a completely acoustic band. Just, oh my god.
That was plenty of good stuff, as they say. Anyway, I think I can now play my audio clip.
There it is. Gadgets, games, and gizmos.
Uh-oh.
All up on Mexicans.
Oh,
jeez. All up on Mexicans. All up on Mexicans.
I can't stop hearing that now that somebody mentioned it on the morning stream. I can't not hear that now.
And also, since Scott did a freaking comic with all Up All Night to Get Loki, I hear that every time.
I must have missed that. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's just Thor saying that like six times, Up All Night to Get Loki. So I hear that now. I'm just like,
that's so great.
Damn it. Yeah, Up All Night to Get Loki.
Up All Night to Get.
Up All Night to Get. So yeah, this is Gadget Games.
This is sing along karaoke time.
Rachel. Well, Rachel's been doing school.
Rachel, what do you mean?
That's what Rachel's been doing. It's also consequently the reason why she's not on the show tonight is because she's trying on pretty dresses for a wedding we have to go to this weekend, and also schoolwork.
At the same time, that's impressive.
Don't combine the two. Yeah.
No, I'm podcasting and taking pictures, so.
Ooh. Whoa. Is that why your camera's off?
Yes. They are pantsless pictures, legitimately because Rachel's wearing a dress.
Wow.
Well played.
The
well
camera's
played.
Off. The camera
trolling.
You're not wearing a dress.
Trolling level 100.
Camera's right. Still off. I'm not turning it back on because I'm running 16 things.
Nice.
Who should start this?
I'll go ahead and start. I refuse to admit we live in 2013. So, because I'm looking at and I'm thinking back at the stuff that I've been doing this week, and I have done nothing that has came out this year at all. I've introduced my kids to the Pokemon anime, and it's all up on YouTube, totally legally. But we have been watching. Oh yeah, it is all up on YouTube, but it's totally not legal.
It's totally YouTubeanized.
Yes, it's YouTubed. I'm just watching it on YouTube, casting it to the Chromecast because I freaking love my Chromecast. but yeah, I've been watching tons of the Pokemon anime. My kids freaking love it. Like they'll run through and they of course love Pikachu. Kia loves Jigglypuff. Yeah, they'll run through the house. Pika Pikachu, Pika Pikachu, Pika Pika Pikachu.
Nice.
AJ really likes Squirtle, but he can't quite say Squirtle, so he just called it Turtle. So he'll go through, and go Turtle, 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 and I go, what Turtle? And he goes, Blue Turtle on Pikachu Show, Pokemon.
Blue Turtle.
Have you guys heard of the video on YouTube of like 10 or 12 Russians trying to say squirrel? Oh my goodness, it's great. It's fantastic. Whoa. Just look that junk up. Look up look up 10 Russians trying to say squirrel on YouTube. Just it's like 4 minutes long. It's totally worth it.
Russians. You had me at Russians.
You had me at Russians.
Now we are rushing to YouTube to watch Russians say squirrel.
Everybody rushing.
Other than that, Rachel discovered Chuck on Netflix. Oh my god.
You guys have seen it before, though, right? You're just,
oh yeah, okay. We watched the entire series when it was on NBC.
Okay.
But we own all the DVDs too.
Oh, but now you don't have to get up and change discs. You just hit play on Netflix.
You just watch it continuously on Netflix. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And we killed the entire first season on Sunday. Like,
wow. That's a lot of Chuck.
There was nothing but Chuck on, and it was glorious.
That is too much Chuck to handle.
I was going
to
say, you should think about just putting the DVDs on a local hard drive or a NAS and just streaming them to your Chromebook, or Chromecast, rather.
Chromecast. No, why? When I could just do it on Netflix on my Chromecast.
Well, I mean, for future reference, whenever you have all the DVDs already.
Yeah, but then I have to get them out and put them all onto the NAS, and that's a lot of work.
It's one day when you're bored and trying to do something else.
I also have been watching, because I realized that I never watched it, I'm watching Chris Eccleston's run on Doctor Who.
Yes.
And I'm not a fan.
Oh. I literally watched four of those today. I love it.
I am not a fan of the Chris Eccleston Doctor.
It may be because of what?
Well, I have this thing about disappointing things that Budlong is interacting with, thus, you know, not liking Eccleston, coming on to the Final Fantasy VII, how it stacks.
Yeah.
Don't like Eccleston.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's because it's Eccleston or because it's, like, really bad graphics. Like,
yeah,
this is the
beginning
edge of
CG. The video quality is horrible. But
it's not so cheesy as the classic Doctor Who, but it's not nearly as good as even like the first episode of the Tenet run.
No, it's more like it's more like Red Dwarf quality stuff,
which I didn't like.
Ugh, man, we need to stop talking.
You're just angry.
We can't be friends anymore. No, I just introduced. JD. He had never watched Doctor Who ever. Like, he didn't even know what it was. He had heard people reference it and had no clue. And I was like, all right, look, here's the thing. You go watch season one, episode one. If you can stand that, watch all of season one.
That first episode was really bad.
But I said, look,
it's so bad.
I said, if that bothers you, watch the first two episodes, watch the last two episodes of season one, and then skip to season two. I was like, if you can't handle it. But he loved it. He watched the first one. He was like, all right, the graphics are bad, but this story's great, and he's loving it.
It is a good story, and it could be because I like the goofier doctor, but I understand the need for a not-so-goofy doctor.
What are you talking about not goofy? He's broody most of a lot of the time, but he's still, like, he's odd and weird.
He's odd and weird, but he's not, like I said, he's not goofy. He's not goofy hardly at all. He's sarcastic and, like, he's great, but I couldn't stand him for more than the one season he's on. Like, that amount of time is perfect for a doctor like that. And just like the new doctor, what's his face? You know, the guy with the face from the Fires of Pompeii. He's only going to be on there for one season too.
Oh, did they say that already?
He's going to be a season. Yeah, he's going to be a one season doctor.
I did not know that.
But that leads me to think that he's going to be more, and just because he's older and his previous shows have proven this, he's going to be more of that Eccleston type doctor where it is not the doctor you may want. It is not the pretty boy Tennant Smith, you know, quirky, flashing his well chiseled chin or his bedroom eyes every second. But
see, I'm okay with that.
It's going to be the doctor that you need to get, because it's getting to a very dark place in the Doctor Who storyline.
I was about to say that's where Eccleston came from. He came from the Time War. This is turning into geek Doctor Who.
That's fine. That's the reason why I did this, because I knew I was going to talk
Doctor
about
Who
this.
It would get
talking like this. This is the reason why I dedicated the latter half of the show completely to what we've been doing.
Okay, so Eccleston was there. His iteration was. Exactly. It was right after the Time War. So he literally just lost his entire race. I mean, genocide. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine losing everybody? Not just the people you love, but everybody who is
every single person.
Or your Oh my! I can't even fathom that.
He is in his head the last Time Lord. Of course, he's not. Spoiler alert! But
whoa! JD might let him.
He's up there.
No, he's just going to. He's gonna go through these as quickly as possible because he loves that show. He's like,
well, even that. I mean, by the time he gets to the point where that other person comes around, it's gonna be later. Isn't that second season Tenant?
Third.
I'm going to say.
Season? Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. So he'll probably have forgotten that by then. If not, it probably won't bother him too much.
No.
But you'll be all right. And it's again, I don't care if you haven't watched it yet. The show came out. It came back out in 2009. So deal with it.
Right. Right.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, you're getting to a point where the doctor is going to be at a very dark place. So you're going to need that more dark, brooding doctor, because dealing with the John Hurt doctor, which is probably the eighth doctor, I think that's my theory. It's the second half of the eighth doctor. You're dealing with that, which is going to go to a very, very, very dark place. You can't have Mr. Chiseled Chin, goofy, you know, fezzes are cool, running around dealing with what he did in the Time War.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my theory. But he's not going to be a fan favorite. He's not going to be a Tenet. He is not going to be a Tom Baker.
Right.
He's going to be a person that progresses the storyline, and there's not a thing wrong with that.
No, I actually I still like Eccleston, especially as the first one, because he portrayed the alien aspect of Doctor Who, or of the Doctor rather.
Yeah.
He portrayed that really, really well. Like he played that like you look human, but you're not like you don't respond right, like you're not normal in any respect. So
yeah.
I really liked he's not my favorite. I'd still put Tennant as my favorite Doctor, but he was definitely needed, and I'm glad he was there. I wish he was there for more technically, but I don't understand why, but whatever, it is what it is at this point.
I don't understand why he's not coming back. That's the thing that bothers me. I think it's because I think what he said is put a bad taste in my mouth. So like there's no reason why he can't come back for the 50th.
Yeah, I don't know, but they're also not bringing back Barrymore for anything either. And I just watched a huge video from one of the cons of him talking, and he's like, I want to come back to Doctor Who and Torchwood. No one's asking me. He's like, because somebody asked on stage, it was a live interview time, and he was like, you know, ask me questions. It's like an AMA, like whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, why haven't you come back to Doctor Who? And he was like you could see him get. You could see the frustration build up because he was like, I want to, but no one asked me to. And then he went on this like 15-minute tirade. And at the end, he was like, but don't get me wrong. I would love to still. Like, I want to, but no one asked. And then he just moved on. He's like, now, please don't ever ask me that again.
Now, where are you with Arrow? Oh.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix now.
Yeah, first season Arrow is on Netflix. You can go watch your more John Barrowman on there. And also, creepy skinny lady playing not Black Canary, Laura Lance.
Creepy skinny lady.
Her dad is Harry Dresden, and her mom is River Song. So, you know, you have that going for you, which is nice.
There you go.
The guy who played Harry Dresden in the short-lived Dresden Files series is her dad.
I didn't like, but
I loved that series. Oh my god!
I think we've established that we have exact opposite opinions on some things.
And her mom is River Song, but her mom is doing a very weird, like really weird. American accent for some reason, so it's really weird hearing River Song be American.
Yeah.
I'm also playing Dragon Age Origins still. I'm thinking about. I'm so torn about keeping my New Year's resolution actually beating the game or quitting it because it is way crashy. Like I can barely finish a few hours on that game without it crashing. And by a few, I mean two. So I'm thinking about abandoning that one. Mainly also because I started playing Scribblenauts Unlimited from the new Humble Bundle, which is also not from 2013. Again, I refuse to admit it's 2013.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
So I've been playing a little bit of that, not a ton of it. Also, I've been playing the hell out of Pokemon Emerald.
Wow. It really isn't 2013 in your world, is it?
And Sapphire. So, you know, I've been, all the Generation 3 Pokemon I've been playing. Oh, and Fire Red. So I've been playing Fire Red. Screw the later generations of Pokemon. Pokemon 3 generation is awesome.
It is the best. I think the third generation is the best.
And also we did the Extra Life thing this last weekend, and I don't think I played anything new on that either. So, like, I don't think I played anything from 2013 there either.
Why would you? I sure didn't.
Azevedo played, was it, like 14 hours of Final Fantasy VII?
Final Fantasy VII. Yep.
Made it, like, a quarter of the way through the game.
Progress!
In 14 hours.
Hey, yeah. You made it a quarter of the way. I made it 2 hours into it. So.
But long
yeah.
made it.
Well, I don't even think you made it that long.
No, no, I have a counter on the save file. I was well. Let me rephrase that. Hold on. Let's start
over.
Were
you sleeping?
No, I was actually going to preface that. That just means the game was loaded for 2 hours. I really don't know how long I was asleep.
So. 2 hours. It's fine.
Oh man.
He made it through. He made it through a quarter of the way through naming Cloud.
Hey, what's your name? Like, yeah. Name entry.
And so there's going to be a little bit more information at the end of the show on Extra Life because some things happened and some stuff happened and they're going to try and make up for it. So we'll talk more about that at the end of the show.
Some things and some stuff.
And speaking of things and stuff, Azevedo, what have you been doing?
Hey, I did the Extra Life thing. Did you hear about that?
Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this?
Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? There's a thing called Extra Life, yeah? 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 Play games for kids. Money. It went well, thanks to all the people who threw support behind me and the team. What was our final total? I think like 435 or something?
Yeah, 435, I think.
Yeah, a little over 435.
So we almost got halfway to our goal. That's okay. Hey, I appreciate
it. Hey, all money goes toward all the proceeds go to kids. So whether it was $5 or $435, does not matter at this point. They got some money.
Yes, exactly.
Now next year, feel free to donate even more. We're not going to say not to, but we are appreciative of everything that
it's
was
all for
raised.
Good. It's for the goods. For the kids. Yeah. For the kids.
It's for the kids.
So I was like, okay, a 25-hour gaming marathon, I'll buy Final Fantasy VII, and just that should fill up the entire time.
It did.
And I clocked about 14 hours, and I don't even think I made it a quarter of the way through the game, because that game's just ridiculous. But it was fun, and had a good time. It was a good event. While my internet held up, I tried to do a little bit of streaming at CJ's behesting, but
is that a word?
Yeah.
Apparently
I just
now
make
it
a word.
I don't even know what it means.
I'm not sure either.
At CJ's insistence.
There you go.
We've got a twitch.tv/jazztech7 is me. And you can watch my video dropping 96% of frames.
Well done.
Really need to fix my internet issues. I've started back up on Batman Beyond on Netflix. And
I
that
need
show
to put that in
up.
The list. I need
All
to
right.
put that in my list.
It is very... Netflix. Man, I forgot how 90s that show is. Like, it is extremely late 90s. Like, the style, the music, and everything about it. I'm just like, ah. Like, I feel like I'm watching The Matrix or something. This is so weird.
Speaking of Netflix, is anybody else getting the reminder to look at the terms of use? Or is that just me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just pulled up Netflix.com, and there's a big reminder at the top. Like, hey, your use is supposed to go through the terms of service. Like, please read this again and agree. Oops.
Oops.
Oh, man.
Huh.
Don't pirate.
I'm not pirating. I'm just curious because you can't. I mean, it's all DRM'd. I don't know how you could. Anyway,
people find ways.
There are ways. There's always a way, Budlow.
Oh, I know. He's got a cache file somewhere, but still, I was thinking maybe
where
more
there's
than
a
one
yard,
device,
there's a way.
Or more than two devices, but it won't let you. So, anyway, Batman Beyond, got it.
You can stream more than two devices if you get a family plan.
Yeah, yeah. We almost need that.
I'm not there yet, but we only have one TV set
so
in there.
Tablets, buddy.
See,
I did add
that whole two device thing actually frustrates the hell out of me because each computer counts as a device and my Chromecast counts as a device.
Oh, so if you're Chromecasting from your computer, that counts as two?
Yep, and so nobody else can use it.
Oh, boo.
Huh.
That's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, that might be a glitch. I would report that.
That sounds like something they need to fix.
Yeah.
There's actually a big Chromecast update coming out here in the next month that's supposed to be adding new stuff and fixing a bunch of stuff that goes on with it because there are some issues when streaming browser video that sometimes it just completely drops for no reason.
Huh.
So they're working on a big update.
Very good. I did add Chuck to my Netflix queue, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. And I bought the Humble Bundle, but I haven't installed any of the games yet.
That's because you want
sleep. Hopefully
this
weekend, I need to get some sleep and do lots of work, and the child. So hopefully this weekend I'll probably get to play some of that if I don't spend too much on Final Fantasy VII. We'll see how I feel. And then as far as stuff from this year, still keeping up with S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, and Grimm is back on now. And I'm still really enjoying all of those shows. So, yay, S.H.I.E.L.D. Are you caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, CJ?
I've actually come to the conclusion that I'm probably just going to binge it when it comes seasons over because I've kind of developed a love for that. Like it takes a special kind of show for me to want to keep watching it week after week, and I've collected four episodes on my DVR, and I'm like, all right, one of these days I'll get around to watching it, but I want to watch it back.
Just watch them all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Watch 12 episodes of Chuck.
I wanted to discuss the most recent episode, but I guess
after season ends, I'll probably just grab because I have all of them on my DVR so far. Then I'll probably just binge after the season finale.
Maybe at the half season. We're 13.
Oh, they're doing a half season break.
I assume. All shows seem to do that, but
well, typically a typical season nowadays is 12 to 13 episodes. So it would be a full season finale.
Chopped it down now. No more 24 episode seasons.
You get some more finales and premieres that way, of course.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be Breaking Bad. That's fine.
Precisely.
But Long, what have you been up to?
I can guarantee you it won't be 5 years until I catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D. so we can actually talk about that before.
For
2020.
So since the last time we all spoke, I forgot to put this in the list, but went to the National Aviation Museum with my wife and my son because he just likes lots of things like trains and airplanes and stuff, and that there's a huge aviation museum in Pensacola. It's only about 45 minutes from us. So we went over there and learned how small of an attention span our son has because there are in any place you stand, I don't care when you're in that hangar, when you're standing anywhere, you can see at least 20 airplanes. And the entire time he's just, more airplanes? More airplanes? And I'm like, dude, there's like 30. I'm like, look in any direction. So we literally didn't stop walking the entire time. But it was a ton of fun. Next time we'll go.
Yeah, that place is huge.
Yeah. Next time we go, we'll probably wait till he's old enough to go to the IMAX as well, because there's like a 45 minute to an hour long video there usually. This time it was trains. Probably would have been really cool, but I doubt he would have spent 45 minutes sitting there watching trains without driving someone else in the room nuts because he probably wouldn't have been quiet. And I don't want to ruin someone's $12 experience because our son is two. So we didn't do that. We took some pictures. I put them up on, I think Instagram was probably where I ended up putting them. I took a couple. I don't post a lot to social media anywhere anymore because of their weird rules. Let's see. We went to the McWane Center in Birmingham this last weekend, which is, it's like a, as Zavita will get this reference, it's like an Explorium experience. You have a kid's reference. Science, like, hands-on center, so they can play with different, like, hands-on experiments and whatnot. But we went to the McWayin Center for the specific reason that they had a dinosaur exhibit that had dinosaurs that were discovered, like skeletons that were actually discovered in Alabama, which was kind of cool. So they had about eight skeletons that had been all discovered in the state of Alabama. The downside is, as we just discussed with 30 airplanes with any in, looking in any direction, when you have eight skeletons and the kid loves dinosaurs, wow, that was a ring around, or not ring around the rosy, that was just a big circle we took for like an hour looking at eight different skeletons. It was more dinosaurs, more dinosaurs, more dinosaurs. Oh, gosh.
Oh, a dinosaur. Oh,
right.
There's
and he's gotten to the point where there are some dinosaurs that he knows the general shape of, and it doesn't matter if it's the right name or not, he's going to call it that dinosaur. So there was I think it was Appalachiosaurus that looks like a T-Rex. What? And he was like, no, that's a T-Rex. And I was like, no, buddy, that's this. And he was like, no, it's a T-Rex. I was like, oh, okay.
No, Dad, you're right. An idiot.
I don't want to have this argument. No, I don't want to have this argument every 10 minutes when we make this loop. So we're just going to say, sure, it's a T-Rex. But we did that. He got to see we almost got to pet sharks, which was kind of cool, but none of them wanted to come near him. So they had little hammerhead, like 2-foot-long sharks in a tank that you could pet at the McWayin Center in Birmingham. But none of them came near us, so we couldn't pet them. And then the reason we were in Birmingham was actually for a friend's wedding showers. Three in a weekend, which was time-consuming.
For the same person?
Yeah. Whoa. So here's the deal. Normally you have several, but she's getting married in Birmingham. We live down here, and both of us are in the wedding, and we're all really close friends. So she wanted us to be at her wedding showers. So instead of spreading them out, we did them all in a weekend, which was very tiresome. Josiah and I were sick.
Wow.
We're supposed to go up Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and come back. Josiah and I got sick on Thursday. Alicia caught it on Friday while we were up in Birmingham. So the first day, she was supposed to be prepping for the lingerie shower, baking cupcakes and all kinds of stuff. And then she was sick all day. So I brought Josiah to the McWayin Center. We came back, did some of the cooking, and then I had to leave because it was a lingerie shower. I was not there for it, because that's and then
that's
Saturday,
a little weird.
Yeah, well, no, what's really, oh man, this is gonna turn into a long story. I wasn't planning on doing this. Alicia hadn't bought a party gift for the lingerie shower, which they did one of those like lingerie Rachel's not here. We're all guys. This doesn't make any. It's anyway.
Dale, help us out here.
Well, no. Okay. So one of the things, I didn't know this was a thing, but basically for the lingerie shower, all of the guests buy a pair of underwear that represent their personality, but in the bride to be's size so that she can wear them later. But the whole point is to let the bride guess who bought what underwear. Okay. Cool. Makes sense. Alicia hadn't bought hers yet, and she was sick the day of the lingerie shower. So she was like, hey, while you're getting stuff for making cupcakes and whatnot, can you buy those?
Pick me up a pair of...
And I was like, this is not awkward at all. I mean, given me and the bride are actually really close friends, so it wasn't... It was awkward, but it wasn't unbearably awkward. And then the funniest part was I found a pair that I thought was perfect, but they only had in 2 sizes too big. So I called her up and I was like, look, I called the bride to be. I was like, look, I found a pair that I think worked, but they're 2 sizes too big. And she was like, just get them. It'll be fine. And then someone ended up buying the exact same pair in the right size. So, it was one fun event after another. And then we left Sunday from the last shower, and it was a 5.5, almost 6 hour drive home. So, man, that was fun. Let's see. I also got the WB Humble Bundle. I did, against my better judgment, install Arkham Asylum the same night and played it till like 1 in the morning and then went to work. Bad plan.
No, that's why I didn't install it.
Yeah, not a great
plan. That,
because
my internet connection, it would take like till...
Six years.
Hey, with Steam, because you have to log into Steam, can I give you the game files and you just throw them in your library?
Nope.
No,
I don't think so.
Dang. I would have saved you some internet. That's all I was trying to do. I know you have to log in. So I wasn't worried about stealing.
It's all right. I'll just start it up one night and go to bed. And maybe when I wake up the next morning, it'll be done.
Or 2 days later. let's see. So
otherwise known as tomorrow, today for me. There
yes.
You go.
No, it'll be tomorrow. It'll be Dale's tomorrow, so it'll actually be 2 days from now when it's actually downloaded.
Yay, time zones.
Yippee! So Arkham Asylum got installed. I've got Arkham City, and then I also got Scribblenauts. Those are the only three that I really cared about. The other four, I don't remember what they even were. I haven't even
Fear
validated
two,
the Steam codes.
Fear 2, Fear 3, there's...
Oh, I will not be playing those.
The Lord of the Rings game, too.
Lord of the Rings War of the North, which
I will not
anything,
be playing Fear at night. It's not going to happen.
If we do any co-op on that, because it's a co-op RPG, we should totally do that together.
Oh, okay.
That sounds fun.
We'll give it a shot, as long as it's not crazy turn-based stuff, which if it's co-op, it can't be. So, or I hope it's not. We'll be okay. Anyway, I got that, and then I have been watching Tailspin, if anybody wants to guess how that, or what that was for, that would be.
I think a dooby 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 boo.
Yeah.
Tailspin.
Tailspin. It was actually tons of fun. We just recorded that earlier, so that'll be out next week. Let's see, I think... Oh, the hair. Ha, we haven't been on since then. I shaved my head, so I have nothing.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes.
He wants to be Heisenberg.
Yes,
He's got the glasses. He just needs the hat.
I've already liked cooking for a very long time, so I figured I would just get the hair.
Watch out! Watch out, everyone.
No, I wish I had an extra $700,000 coming in every year. That'd be or no, 3 million. Where am I at? 3 million? I think it's where. No, 7 million.
No.
Where? What was that?
Oh, that's chump change before at the end.
Yeah. Well. Anywho, so hair and all the other stuff. I think that's it for me, and I guess Dale is the only one left, so Dale.
I am the only person left. Yay. Okay, so the Extra Life thing, of course, that happened, blah, blah, blah. And apparently there's a video of me trying to struggle to play Donkey Kong Country 64 with a computer. So that's
fantastic.
CJ loved that, struggle time.
It was
and how.
Great.
He kept replaying the Donkey Kong rap.
The Donkey Kong rap, it was great. Actually,
I had to get it stuck.
While we were fighting, while he was fighting with it, I pulled it up on YouTube and crowcasted it and blasted it so he could hear it. It was great.
That
was fun.
And over and over again.
Over and over again. Because I couldn't figure out what the start button was, so I just kept hitting buttons, and it turned out that none of them were. So
it didn't have a button key map to start.
No.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Literally hit every button as well. So it's like, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's great.
It's Donkey Kong Country rap hour here on the Extra Life stream.
Basically, that's what it was.
That's really what it was. Final seasons are upon us for university, so that's going to be fun for the next
final
2 weeks.
You call them seasons?
Oh, well, I just say season.
Oh, okay.
Funny.
Sorry.
Oh, final season. Okay, I see in the note.
Oh,
I thought you said the final season.
That's what I thought he said. Okay.
Is it like a semester?
Season.
I thought this was one of the weird, like, geographically weird English translations.
Yeah.
Like the high
Fortnite
versus top.
Or like the top of 75 in your postcode. Or whatever it is.
Yes.
No postcode ending.
I thought that would confuse the hell out of all of you, so I win.
Yeah, it did.
I heard
Merry
that.
Christmas.
I got that reference, CJ. I'm not sure if I'm proud of that or not.
What reference?
Nothing.
Okay.
Actually, it's kind of funny. Rachel's like, hey, did you know Lord was Australian? I go, yeah. She goes, oh, did you know she was 16? I go, yeah. I go, you know how I knew she was Australian before I even heard this when I first heard
postcode.
The song? She goes, what? I go, no postcode envy.
Yes.
No postcode envy.
No postcode envy.
She says it's everywhere else outside of the U.S., but I've only ever heard Dale call it that. So,
you have to ask Daryl what his postcode is or whatever that is. Yeah,
I heard them call it postal codes, and like all my English friends call it postal codes. But like you were the only person that ever called it postcodes. I'm like, yep, she's Australian. So yay, racial stereotyping. Or national stereotyping.
Racial stereotyping? Wow.
Hey,
what?
Also, I watched Epic today. You know, the movie that the made no money in the summer movies back last season.
Cost me the damn event.
How was it, by the way?
It was a fun watch. It really was.
So it may have,
it looked
have
like well.
No.
I'll let him answer that question. What? No. Okay.
What? Oh, I said it should have made more money. Yes or no?
No. I can see why it didn't make any money.
No.
But I think why it wasn't popular with mainstream audiences, but it at least was a fun watch. I think it made a ton of DVD sales anyway. So that's probably.
It looked like a remake of Ferngully. Was that?
Yeah. What it was, yeah. Or... Very, very.
It was like
much
Avatar
so.
Too. Okay. So.
Avatar. And
well,
Ferngully,
Avatar was basically Avatar. Ferngully with giant blue guys. But,
yes.
You know, whatever.
It was Ferngully in space.
in space.
Can we put that as a show title? Can we put that as an option?
I'm already on it.
Yes.
You're already on it? Okay. So it was actually wasn't that bad. So the Epic wasn't that bad. So I'll recommend it to whoever wants it. Dealing with a broken Facebook, it turns out that I haven't told my Facebook story on this show. A couple of weeks ago, Facebook was saying that I was in Ontario in Canada.
What?
Saying I was in Canada, Montreal,
okay.
Canada.
I didn't know this about this. This is the first time I heard this, but I honestly thought you were just playing around with Pro XPN settings.
Nope. Pro XPN was off. I tried it with it on and with it off, and it was both Montreal, Canada.
Weird.
I honestly thought you were doing that on purpose.
Oh, that's good. Man, this could be fun.
So, but of course it's reset itself now, but for some whatever reason it said Montreal, Canada.
Like, nice.
For 2 days it said I was in Montreal, Canada, and people started commenting going, Dale, is there something you should be telling us? I'm like, no, not really. You're in Canada, I'm so jealous. I was like, oh yeah, whoops. Actually not in Canada. I will see you tomorrow. Anyway. Jet setting across the world as I am wanted to do.
Flying back on your personal jet.
Exactly. I just borrowed your jetpack.
Yes, yes. It hasn't happened in a very long time, and I'm okay with that.
There you go. I've done actually a lot of podcasting over the last week. Bit of technical background. The Terrible Tuesday Movie Night file, I've tried recording this last episode about 3 times. Because when I'm done, the file keeps getting corrupted. So, and actually this time I did it this morning and it was actually worked. So, I've had to re-record that show 3 times. So it's like, oh, do I really want to be doing this again? And again? And again? The things I do for you people.
Yay.
Pointing to the camera.
You people? What do you mean, you people?
Who are you calling you people? And the fact that Down Under Colorado went for 2 hours this week, yeah. So, it's a long
show. We used to do that.
Yeah, I know. Remember those days, except we didn't have... It was just talkie time on Down Under Colorado. We didn't have a rant and review.
Jeez.
So we don't. So, picked up GTA 5 as well. Haven't played it. Actually, I tried to play it last weekend and realized my Xbox controller was broken. So that's fun.
Oh, no. Ordering a new one can't be cheap. Sorry. No, it's about what is it called? The VAT? Is that just Britain?
What?
We have the GST, the Goods and Services Tax.
That's what it is. In Britain, it's called the VAT. I couldn't remember if that was...
Yeah, it's the same in New Zealand, too. It's called the VAT. Which I don't know what it stands for. Something tax.
Virtual arousal.
Audio tax.
Virtual
arousal tax.
Wow.
Virtual arousal tax.
That is not where I would have gone with that.
Really quickly.
Man.
Common women management.
Common women management with their virtual arousal tax.
Wow.
I've been addicted to BitStrips lately. Speaking of arousal tax, no, BitStrips, the app, the weird comic app that you post to Facebook. I've become addicted to it, unfortunately. And I'm actually confused about the country I live in. And
what are bit strips?
Can someone explain it better than me?
Should I just Google
little,
that?
It is a little like kind of like self-published, easy little Facebook thingy.
Oh, that's what I've been seeing everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Every freaking person does bit strips.
I was trying to figure out if I should Google that in incognito mode with the VPN on or what. I don't know what we're looking for.
Nice.
Nice.
No, it's other than being the bane of a lot of people on Facebook's existence, it's safe.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, I've become really addicted to it, so
with everything done in moderation and with a little bit of thought, it can be fun and creative. But it's when people are like, I went to the grocery store with Bob's, and I'm like, I don't care, and I don't need an illustration of you going to the grocery store. I don't even want to know in the first place.
All being said, Dale is the greatest gift.
Dale is the greatest gift
again
of all.
Today.
There you go. Dale is the greatest gift of all. That is the one I did yesterday, I believe. Yeah.
Today, I think it was.
Today. Well, today, yeah.
It depends on what time zone you're in.
Actually, no, it was today for me. There you go. It was earlier this morning.
There you go.
Weird.
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 And right, I'm actually confused about the country I live in, so tune into Down Under Colorado for that.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah,
I know. Dale so is thinking of moving countries. So it's become that bad.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
Look at my go on.
No, just a picture on I was looking at Facebook to try and find the one that you made, and I got to a picture that somebody posted under, I guess, on the David Tennant fan page, and it's the complete series released in the UK and US for Doctor Who called Destiny of the Doctor, and it's a TARDIS with every known episode or every recovered episode. Oh my gosh, that's going to be expensive.
Holy God.
Yeah, that's going to be like...
My God.
Yeah, buddy.
Wow. Sorry. Here, this is another Doctor Who side story. I was at a client's house the other day, and he had just finished building a media cabinet that was half of a TARDIS that opened up. It had a light on the top. Oh, it was fantastic. It was so good. Oh, man, it's so good.
My God.
Not available, but... they don't have a price on it yet either. Yeah, that's
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Oh wait, audio CD.
$100 million.
What? I don't even care. Never mind. Audiobook. I thought it was the videos. Weird.
Nope.
Right, anyway, sorry.
Nope.
Hey, that's it for me. Yeah. Everyone.
All right. So let's hit a little bit.
Do I have the news clip?
Just a little dash.
Here we go.
Yeah, on to the news!
Alright, just really quick, Star Wars Episode 7 finally got a official release date. It was supposed to be May 2015, but it has been pushed back to December 18th, 2015. It is the official release date, December 18th. 2015 for Star Wars Episode 7. That is all.
Because they want a Christmas audience. Da, da, da,
da. Yep.
We
all know what the biggest 2015 winter draft movie is going to be.
Oh, God, can you imagine if we're still doing the SmackDown in 2015?
If we're still doing it. What are you expecting?
Someone's getting optimistic.
What are you expecting?
You mean if?
Exactly.
I'll buy that for $50.
I want 500 more. I just watched the 500th episode of TMS, and that was a fantastic clip.
Wasn't that great?
Clip. Oh, my
that
gosh.
That was awesome.
Bravo.
That was great.
Bravo.
Anyway, where am I? Oh, there's mine. Okay, so evidently in Google Now, you can customize what you trigger Google Now with, but they've got the best results from OK Google and OK Jarvis. That's
do
been
I have to
fantastic.
What the hell is OK Jarvis?
From Iron Man.
Do I have to customize it today then? Or is it by default?
Say that again, sorry.
Is it by default or do I have to customize it somewhere?
No, I think you have to prioritize. Like I think this is only on like the Moto X. I'm trying to go back to the article.
Because I was going
to
say OK Jarvis.
Nope. When GUINAL voice commands were officially left one trigger phrase, blah, 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 blah. Tried out some new catchphrases. Anyway, somebody tried out a whole bunch of them, and he got some of them to work, like OK Phone or OK Computer, but the ones that worked flawlessly were OK or Hey Google or OK Google, and also Jarvis.
Hey Google, don't let me down.
Nice down.
Tell me how long till I get to that restaurant.
Right. Hey,
don't quit
Google.
Your day job.
Where can I hide a dead body?
On that note, let's go ahead and wrap this baby up. All right, so once again, you can reach Darker Show at tiny.cc/ruincomic, R-U-I-N comic. That'll bring you straight to his Kickstarter. More information on when that goes live, where you can get that from. We'll go ahead and give that a pin pitch too. Type.
Oh, not gonna mute me. Not gonna mute me now, huh? Google.
Right.
Hang on.
I don't know if the new interface still does that or not. Does it still?
No, it doesn't.
Good.
It doesn't. Oh. Tested
I think enough people complained that they were
It could be because. It could be because when I would hit control, it would mute me, but when I would be typing paragraphs, it wouldn't.
Yeah, needs some work. Needs a little work.
All right, so you can reach us at twitter.com/geekioshow, facebook.com/geekioshow, plus.google.com/plusgeekionetwork, also twitch.tv/geekioshow, where we're actually doing a live simulcast as well with a chat there, so yes, it means CJ is dashing between three chats. Yay!
Yay!
Chat, chippity chat.
I think eventually, once we can figure out some bugs, we're going to probably replace the IRC chat with Twitch, because I like Twitch chat better. And also, you don't have to install anything to get Twitch chat.
We could just use an HTML chat, that thing we talked about like 12 months ago on the show that I brought up, when that's strictly HTML.
Please. HTML's for wussies.
Nice. Everything runs on HTML.
I can write you a PHP one if you really want, but
whoa,
you'd have to host
it
somewhere.
Hey, we have a hosting site for that.
I don't have full FTP access to that.
No, that's true. all right, and we are at geek-io.com, feedback@geek-io.com. Hey, Rachel Dale, who do we have coming on next week?
Well, we have. How do I do that? I tell you. Well, we have Garrett Wineson-L. I'm butchering that
Come
name
on,
because I can.
Out there.
Of the Angry Chicken and Starcast podcast. Don't you talk over me, woman. I talk over you. That's how it works.
Oh, okay, Wineser-L.
Wineser-L.
We are currently surveying our listeners to learn more about you. Please take a few minutes to visit our website and click on the survey link found in the show notes for each episode. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank everybody for helping us out for with the Extra Life Marathon. Yeah, we only hit about $400-some-odd, which, you know, is less than our goal. But, you know, every bit of it went to charity. Thank you guys so much. They actually had a total of 4 DDoS attacks during the entire 25-hour marathon.
It wasn't directly on them, though, right? It was actually on level 3, correct?
I believe so. I think one was directly at them, though.
Jeez.
The big one that took it down for like 4 hours was on them.
Okay.
I didn't think they were down for more than an hour or two.
No, they were down for almost 4 hours one time.
That first one, I think it was.
Yeah, but they did raise over $3.8 million now, which is more than they've ever raised ever.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last one was 2.7 or something like that.
Yeah. We'll be doing this again next year, so, you know, we'll try and hit our goal. There is an official makeup day this weekend on Saturday, and I know a few people have said that they're going to try and do some stuff. I personally can't because it's my turn to be Budlong, and I have a wedding to go to on the 7th. So, I'm not going to be able to do anything. I don't know
how. Now Budlong can make up.
Yeah, or I'll be at work.
Batman games to play.
Or I'll be at work. Saturday night, maybe. I'll try to get on Saturday night.
It's all day.
I know. I'm going to try and get on Saturday night.
So we're gonna try and do some. It's not gonna be as big of an event as this last one is, but you know, we'll try and get some people in. Maybe have Jared do some maybe 96% packet loss.
Actually, once I turned down the resolution to like 800x600, I got down to like 30% packet loss, so not so bad. Really
so maybe have Jared stream some more Final Fantasy VII.
Hey, can you do that at midnight when I'm ready to go to bed?
Sure.
Thanks.
Put you right to sleep.
Appreciate it.
I'm still going to keep it up over at geek-io.com/extra-life. So that site's still set up. I'm probably going to eventually navigate and redirect that once this entire event is over. That's probably going to be our massive Twitch thing, since we now have, you know, Dale's Twitch, you know, my Twitch, Jazz's Twitch, Raul's Twitch. We have all the everybody's channels.
We have all.
It sounds like everybody has like problems.
Does everybody have Tourette's here?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Everybody has epilepsy.
Jared's Twitch, Jazz's Twitch.
Speaking of epilepsy, we're up to the Geek-io, the first update for the Winter Movie Smackdown. Let the games begin. Ender's Game has not done too great. It's only brought in $1.625 million for Budlong. So,
fantastic start, Budlong.
I want that movie to do well.
I blame Orson Scott Card's bigotry for that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not joking. There are a ton of people who are like, I'm not going to go see that.
I will not pay to see that movie. I'm just putting it that way. I want to see it, but I will not pay to see that movie.
But what about... Okay, we can have this argument after the fact. We'll talk about it after that.
All right. Opening this weekend, though, is Thor, so bye, Budlong.
Bye, Budlong.
It's Kapoos. Sakani's temple. Yeah, that's bye, Budlong. So Geek-io previews for this week. Down in the Colorado runs almost 2 hours as they talk about at length about the recent anonymous threats on the Australian government's motorcycle laws. Terrible Tuesday movie night was terrible.
That is not CJ's personal opinion. It actually was.
Disney Geek-io, we did the Halloween episode that's up on the Master Feed now. Sakani did a BGM for Halloween stuff that went up there. Daryl and I did a Comic Geek-io last week. I talked about Infinity and Forever Evil and all that good jazz. And also movies and continuity, because F continuity. Dink.
Dink. Right.
Whoa.
That's enough.
Well,
two
Budlongs.
One is frozen.
Oh, and also how it's...
The other is quiet. Yes. I thought they were doing Chip and Dale this week. I can never keep up.
No, aren't they doing a Tailspin?
They're doing Tailspin.
Dale theme, yeah. So don't feel bad.
It's Tailspin. Oh,
we're all fair. We're all fair.
Oh, no, we're now on it. We're on Twitch.
What the hell is going on?
On Twitch. I don't know what happened.
Budlong's breaking everything.
Don't touch it, Dip.
I didn't touch anything. It just broke.
All right, stop licking stuff.
Where can
do you think we can sound or look better? Go on over to geek-io.com/tipjar to donate some of that much-needed geek love to the show and keep Budlong from breaking things. If you donate $5 or more to the cause, we'll give you a shout-out and read anything you want us to read at the top of the show. Helps give a plug to you, or if you want to be silly, it helps us keep the lights on here at the show and keeps us on the air.
Yay.
Yay. We can be heard on Stitcher Radio as well as iTunes. Be sure to leave us an honest review and we'll gladly read it on the show. It's 1 star, 2 stars, 3 stars, 5 stars. I don't know if you can give no stars, but...
But not 4 stars.
We'll read it.
You know, we just missed 4
and
stars.
You can't give 6 either. I used to try to get people to do that.
Aww.
Damn.
Boo.
All right. All right, folks. So we're going to go ahead and head on out of here. And on that note, we will see you guys next week.
Well, wait. I have a final thought.
Whoa. Thanks for asking, Budlong CJ.
Budlong is inspired.
I normally ask.
Because Budlong inspired me, and I want to pitch my new show called Cooking with Heisenberg.
Yes.
Because, I mean, come on. No half measures.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I am the one who flambés.
What was it, TMS? It was talking about the glow-in-the-dark ice cream. I want a podcast called Lick Me Delicious.
Wow.
See, what happens when CJ doesn't ask.
All right, folks.
Let's get out of here.
We'll see you guys next week. Keep calm, geek out, have fun. Talk to you later. Bye.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Copyright 2013.
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
I want to get out of here.